Thank you, everyone, for coming. I think it's probably close enough to 5:30 that we can get started. This is the session on improving processes through the use of Lean. And I'm Ilya Yakovlev. I am director of Center for Information Systems at St. Cloud State University. Just to give you a little bit of background on my institution, our IT is split into two, academic and administrative, so I oversee the administrative part of that. I've been at St. Cloud for the last 4 years, and before that I was at the University of Wisconsin-Superior for about 10 years as a developer, PeopleSoft developer, and then as a supervisor, worked some with the portal. So I've kind of been all over the map, I guess. But I wanted to talk to you today about Lean. Speakers today at many sessions told us how important it is to implement strategy, to drive our strategy forward. But we can't really do that until we fix the bedrock stuff, improve our processes. And just so I get a feel of you folks in the audience, how many of you are already doing Lean? Okay, great. I have a hand back there. And I'm assuming many of you are interested in Lean, and that's why you're here. Great. So I want to tell you a little bit about my university and give you a bit of background in Lean, although I don't want to use this session to really teach you Lean. That takes a much longer engagement, and I'm probably not quite fully qualified to train you on that yet. I'll tell you why you might be interested in Lean and why we did it. We had a project in particular in our parking services area that I'll tell you about. What the outcome was and what the lessons that we learned are, and then how you might be able to take this and try it at your institution, get that started. So St. Cloud State University, that's really a nice shot of one of our buildings up there. It's not always that sunny and that warm looking, but we've had a very good summer. We're the second largest school in the state of Minnesota. There are two major school systems in the state. There's the University of Minnesota, which is Twin Cities, Duluth, Crookston, Morris, and I'm missing one or two. We're in the other one, which is the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, and we happen to be the largest in that one. And just the other day, I was told my numbers are incorrect. We're now up to 18,000 students and a good, healthy mix of grads and undergrads. One particular point of interest is we have over 1,000 international students and a good portion of minority students as well. And I don't have those numbers up, but a very diverse school, I think. So to give you some examples of what we've run into and kind of what spurred this, take a look at this form for a second. I did a quick search. I didn't have to work very hard. This is a PDF out of our international student services, but it has to be printed out. It's not fillable or anything. But take a look at all the pieces that it's asking for. You see the family name, the given name, street address, date of birth. A different office, American Indian Student Services intake form. I'm not sure what the purpose is, but it's asking for a lot of the same things over and over again, does it not? Last name, first name. At the same time, it's asking for the student ID, right? So if one might think, well, why are we asking all of this information? Another form, and when I saw that, I really got worried about the SSN on it, but the other things on it bothered me too. We're asking for a lot of things. We're asking them on paper. There's a pattern there, right? I'm sure you see a lot of that at your institutions as well. There's a process that I'm not brave enough to name to you that we've encountered in our campus that goes something like this. A student fills out a form that takes her maybe 10 minutes or so, delivers it to her department where her major is located. That's another, say, 20 minutes or so to walk it there. The office manager has to go into our student record system, print out some screen snapshots to provide some additional information, and then transmit the whole packet to the department chair. 2 days for that, and then it sits in the inbox. On a good day, it'll take just one day. If the person is out, sick, vacation, it'll take a lot longer, right? The department chair reviews the packet, 10 minutes. The total time for all of that was well over three days. The value added time, and I'm kind of introducing an interesting concept here. This is really what the student cared about, right? They didn't care about the screen snapshots. They didn't care about why is it that they had to walk it all the way there. All they cared is for that powerful person in the end to make a decision that is hopefully a positive one. So it's 10 minutes as opposed to the 3 days of 40 minutes that took place. Now, so what is lean? Something like this, maybe? It's an old painting from Eastern Europe that some people might think lean is that, but it really is not that bad. It originated in Toyota. They called it the Toyota Production System. It's been modified, altered many times, and you'll see different flavors of lean if you do any kind of research on that. It utilizes just-in-time approaches, which is where you get the, in manufacturing terms, that's where you get the inventory to fill just enough of that to fill the orders that have come in. There automation. It's essentially process reengineering. Again, if you do any research, you'll see terms such as business process reengineering, and I didn't want to use that in this presentation. One interesting statistic, and I'm about to find out if this holds in my institution. I want to do a survey of participants of lean projects at my school and see how many of their projects use technology in the end. And my guess is a lot of them had to implement some kind of technology. So 80% is what we found that the general research tells us that many projects use technology. Lean intersects with project management methodologies. There are a lot of similar techniques, but you understand that lean is a very particular way of taking a process and making a project out of redesigning that particular process, making it more efficient. The focus is on the steps, on the process itself, not the people involved. The plan is to eliminate things that have been there a long time and probably don't fit as well anymore. There's a big focus in lean on collective knowledge. That means putting people in a group or doing interviews and learning from them what the process is all about and how it can be improved. And I want to give credit to the trainers that we had come to our campus from Winona State University. That's another school in my system. And they gave us this great training tool that we use. The idea is, again, the resources that you have, you don't have the luxury of wasting them on poor processes. You'll see terms such as total quality management and Six Sigma. They're similar to lean. In fact, some might say they're flavors of lean. And today I'll give you some general techniques, but I will not delve in these particular flavors. But just so you know, there are different certifications you can get, and there are some very rigid methodologies and some very flexible ones too. What are some of the common roadblocks to lean? Some things you might run into on your campus if you decide to undertake this. There'll be folks that will be scared of losing jobs. After all, lean is about putting a lot more efficiencies into that process. To the extent that you can, you have to reassure the people, and you do need them to learn about the process. There may be a lack of follow-through. If you assign a task to people that don't bring it home, there'll be distractions. There may even be sabotage, and that's when folks will work against the project and try to derail it. Sacred cows are things that we just recognize we cannot change in the near term. Your management may give you some predetermined solutions, or maybe even some of the line workers in this project will have some predetermined picture of what it should be in the end. And one needs to work very hard to get past that. There will be pressures from the management and others. But the goal is to eliminate waste. And I strongly believe that this applies in industry and in higher education, although the term waste is different. If you think of manufacturing, you might picture some inefficient press or some drilling machine that perhaps throws off a lot of shavings or wastes that material. Well, in higher education, it's things that are perhaps less tangible. We might have multiple forms that contain exactly the same information. Why do we have the student perhaps log into a system, pull up a form, and then have them fill in all of the information all over again? It's probably a flat PDF, right? Well, that could be fixed. Forms sit in the inboxes a long time. The actual value add time, the time that the decision maker looked at them, is often minimal. There may be defects in information that just isn't accurate. many departments, and if you're in the application development shop in particular or deal with systems implementations, many departments, they want a quick fix. They'll come to you and want you to implement a system or write a program that automates what they're doing. And a lot of times the developers or their supervisors struggle to do a quick lean, to quickly redesign the process to even make it applicable to the to kind of the technology environment. One thing we've done on our campus is we've given projects that have gone through lean a higher priority when they came to us as application development requests. And that's something I'll mention just a little bit later. So that could be a way of prioritizing technology projects. Processes, they experience entropy. It's inevitable. Things never stay still. And recently, more than any other time, things degrade over time. Our needs change. The people change. The hope with Lean is to reduce costs and improve customer satisfaction. But in the end, it's really up to you what goals you set. There are some common tools, and this is just a snapshot. And I'll show you an example of the value stream maps. That's probably the key tool. There are others, such as the activity action worksheet, and think of those as to-dos. So in the end of this process, of the lean process, you want to have the action items. And one thing that it's important to understand is you have lean, and then you have the actual implementation. So lean is the design part, and then you have the post-lean implementation. There may be a value analysis worksheet. Asking why five times. You'll be amazed when working, especially with the folks that are deep in that process, how many different answers you might get if you ask something in a different way. To give you an example that might be a good one, let's say you have a person who is dealing with the students who request parking permits in the parking office. And a question for that person might be, well, how do the students get a permit? And she might say, well, they fill out a form. Okay, where is that form? Here it is. What about students that live off campus versus on campus? Oh, they use a different form. So you see how you keep asking, you get different answers. How do they pay? Well, they can pay with cash. Is that the only way they can pay? Well, they can pay with credit cards. Okay, great. Can they split the payment between credit card and cash? So you see, it's really a good thing to delve into that, and that's what you have to do as part of Lean. In higher ed, we have such a great advantage over industry. Toyota cannot go to GM and learn how they do things. They may try to steal their secrets, hopefully not, but in higher ed, we have EDUCAUSE, we have other consortia. We can ask our peers how they do the same process. Most of the time, we could go on their website and learn the same thing. It's plain old process analysis in many cases. So back to what we did at St. Cloud State. In fall of 2009, about a year ago, we had training that was held by these trainers from Winona State University. And by the way, there are many people that provide this training, many other schools. And I have some cards here that with my information on it, and I can certainly point you to some resources if you're interested. And our Office of Institutional Effectiveness, which is our institutional research, along with the president, they picked 10 projects that would be given to these 20 or so participants of that lean training. So they paired up the facilitators. And that's a technique to kind of take away some of that perhaps fear when you're freshly trained and try to do lean on your own. So we had 10 projects that were selected as the most effective ones. Upon completion, the facilitators got their certificates, and I, along with the director of our web team, were assigned this parking services lean project. We had an initial meeting with the owners of this process in parking services. And one of the key things you'll find is that you need to identify the goals very precisely. If your goal is to reduce costs, your focus will be very different, perhaps, than if your goal is on improving accuracy. Setting those goals and prioritizing them is what will help you drive lean. In a similar manner, you can spend a very long time trying to perfect a process. With those goals in hand, all you should have to spend is 2 days, two straight days, and try to reach your goals that way. So our particular goals were improve the customer service, relating as they relate to the permits, reduce its costs by reducing wasted staff time and student worker time. We did not have a goal of eliminating staff, and we knew there was no way we could make it that effective, efficient to do that. And then put the customer in control, where they input their own data. We held our initial meeting with the parking services owners, as I mentioned, in early November. In that meeting, we defined what the team would be. We confirmed that we had sponsorship from the chief financial officer, and we outlined our initial scope. This is just an example of what this particular team was. In your projects, you'll have to think about what your team needs to be. But we knew we needed the director of business services because we have dollars flowing through the system. We needed the registrar because for students, permits are assigned in a different manner based on are they on campus, off campus? Are they graduate, undergraduate? How many credits do they have? We had one person from the server team, two from the web team. We kind of had an inkling that this would involve a redesign of the information system and of the websites. We wanted those people involved early on so that we wouldn't have to show them again or teach them again what the team came up with. From parking services, we had the director, the associate director, two line entry folks, and student worker. There were members that we didn't consider formal members of the team, but these were folks that we consulted. We thought we should talk to the university relations to find out if our communications to the students, the announcements, had to change perhaps. Same thing with faculty and staff. We talked to human resources because as people are hired, they're given information on where to get their parking permit. And with admissions, for new students coming in, we needed to make sure they were aware of the changes and stage their processes accordingly. Now we gathered the large team, and we met with them. We tried to meet with them every week, occasionally every 2 weeks. We set our target completion, that was back in November, for March, because that was about, April is about when the new permit cycle starts. And then we started meeting. You'll find two different schools of thought, and even on my campus, there were folks that met for 2 days straight. Some folks met for half a day, a full day, another half a day. We kept meeting for months, but we only met for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Now, the reason why we did that is we knew we'd have to talk to the vendor, we'd have to talk to our sister school, St. Cloud Community and Technical College. We had to talk to a number of folks on campus where we couldn't get them in the same place for 2 days in a row. So, and that was an okay choice to make. We started drawing the value stream maps, and I'll show you what those look like. We used paper and sticky notes because that's what our trainers said was convenient. You can move the sticky notes as you redesign the process. We eventually migrated to Word, I believe, is what we ended up using. One of the hardest parts was identifying the metrics. With Lean, you can spend all kinds of time redesigning the process, but you want to focus on the areas that are the most wasteful and leave it at that. It'll never be perfect, but if you find one area takes days and another area takes hours, that's the days is where you want to focus. So this is a busy current state map for students, and there's a lot of small font, and I will post this on the session website. But this is just to give you an example of what the end product looks like. So the current state started with email announcement goes to students. That's the blue box in the sort of the upper left corner. And then, and this is raw, let Dave Cosell know the number of open spaces to assign to each lot. Okay, and Dave took 2 days to actually do that. And then it goes on to student submits lot request online and so on and so forth. So for students, this was roughly an eight-step process. And then down below, there are metrics that we tried to put in. So it takes 1 day to put out that email. Maybe 2 weeks later, we'll work with our IT. Maybe a week later is when we open it up to the students. So that kind of gives you the beginning for those metrics. And sometimes that timeline is arbitrary. You need to start this on that date, and you need to open up enrollment on the other date, and that's where it has to be. There's no waste there, really. That's just an arbitrary timeline. But there are other times when the process is forcing you to spend a lot of that time unnecessarily. Where you see the little star, we called it the starburst, that means that step was complex enough that it required its own map. And we could either draw the map itself, or we could simply write it out in a Word document or however what the sub-steps were. For employees, it looked similar, although there were fewer steps because there's less complexity. We don't have to deal with on-campus, off-campus. We don't worry about the credits. People pretty much receive the announcement. They renew the permit and the waiting list. They pick up the permit, and then there's data entry. We had to refine our scope in one of the early meetings. We found that, yes, the process starts with announcement of a permit sale. However, it doesn't end with lot assignment and the permit distribution. It ends with data entry. So we had to include that as part of that. And then we identified our first sacred cow, our first thing that we couldn't touch. We found that the payroll deductions, automating those was not possible. There were two disparate systems, and in the time remaining and the clout that we had, that simply wasn't happening. Parking lot is kind of a helpful concept, whether you use it in Lean or in other projects. It's things that you want to keep in mind, but they're tangents. You cannot focus on them right there and then. And to keep the team on task, it's very helpful to put a flip chart up and to put those types of ideas on that chart. Adding the permit fee onto tuition was something we considered down the road. Barcoding permits. What to do with construction employees? What about permits for faculty abroad or on sabbatical? They're kind of the exception. They don't drive the main process. And that's where you want to focus is on the main things. As the Lean process winded down, we put together the list of to-dos, list of actions. And these are just some examples of what they look like. We set up a SharePoint site to track them and assign them to folks. So this is what the document sharing portion of our SharePoint site looked like. You see all kinds of, these are real documents that were there. Our notes from the demo session, various discussions recorded. And then the tasks. This lists the to-dos and who was responsible for them. And thankfully you see on the very right column they're completed because the project was done. So what was the outcome? We're about 1 month behind schedule, but we completed both the Lean and the ensuing redesign successfully, we think. Today, our students, faculty, and staff can do these tasks online. They have an added benefit of being able to pay their tickets online. It's something we didn't intend to do in the beginning, but it's something that became possible at a very low cost. There's pretty much no paperwork involved, and the data is more accurate, presumably, because the people requesting are doing their own entry. One thing we haven't done, and we should have, is we haven't measured the satisfaction before Lean and after. So now we can't really tell how well we did. If you do this at your institution, take that extra time and do a survey or get some kind of data before you change it, because that's what you can hold in your hand afterwards and tell your decision makers, this makes sense, we should replicate this elsewhere. The trainers told us we should celebrate the success. We had no energy, we had no time, and it just kind of went down. Overall, we deem it a success with many lessons learned. With people, it's key that people are neutral. When you have people that are heavily vested in the process, you need a counterbalance. You need somebody either from the outside or somebody trained on Lean and is somebody who can keep the team on task. It's helpful when the institution has a single lien advocate. In our case, that was a person in our institutional research area. That helps move lien forward, and that helps keep those projects on track, even though perhaps from a distance. There's a time commitment. But commitment, it's not horrible. It's 2 days if you can do it, if you can schedule it straight. We took 2 months for the lien portion of our project, and we were exhausted in the end, but it added a lot of value. You need the right people on the team. Sometimes folks need to be removed from your team because they're taking away from the process. And I talked before about reassuring people that are on the team that they'll still be needed to the extent that you can do that. As I said before, you need to set clear goals. One thing we found as the discussion started, even on the first day, there were some quick wins. Well, there's nothing more encouraging than taking that quick win and perhaps even implementing it quickly. It's a very good thing when you can have those. There's a lot of desire to jump to that final future state. This is what it should look like. Some folks will have a very clear idea of what they think it should look like in the end. Keep the lien and the redesign separate. You shouldn't always have to have an IT project afterwards. In IT, there's always a lot going on, and there should be the rational, ongoing process of prioritizing projects. And just because a project went through lien, one has to be careful not to give any lean project a higher priority. You might find some folks actually going through lean just to get that lean designation and get a higher priority. Seek advice from peers, internal and external experts. The line workers that are doing the work, a lot of times they're the ones that know the most about it anyway. I mentioned before about the stickies and the electronic way of creating those maps. Avoid lean light. At times you'll find that the process hasn't changed much, and you have only so much energy and so many resources to devote to lean or process redesign. Pick those processes wisely. It should be the things that need the most attention. As you're doing it, document the process. Chances are nobody has looked at it for a long time. This is the time to create the documentation. There are many tools. I just showed you a sample of what they look like. When you have similar processes, you can collapse them. SharePoint is a tool. Some people like it, some people don't. As with any project, the scope can get out of control quickly. And then keeping the sponsor informed. We met with our sponsor twice, and then informally, because he is my boss, I reported to him probably every 2 to 3 weeks. That person is the one that needs to tell you if you're on track. If you're coming up with a very expensive solution or with a solution that will have a very negative impact, it's something they need to be aware of. Very important, track the time you're putting into this project. It's very easy for this lean initiative to kind of fizzle out on its own because people may not perceive it as being valuable. Track the time that's being put in. We tried to track every hour that went into it. It was kind of hard because a lot of work was done outside of those meetings, so I relied on the people to report to me what that was. So the hours, salary hours, were $15,000, about $15,500. What I did is we had a spreadsheet, and in that spreadsheet, which was public, I had listed salaries for people's titles. Depending on your state's data privacy, you may not want to publish individual salaries, but say you can take the average for that position title times the number of hours, that will give you how much was spent by that person, approximately, and then add those up. It's really that simple. Our system costs, we had to purchase a module of an online system and sign some credit card agreements. That was about $5,000 one time, $3,000 ongoing. We had a student worker that we were able to redirect to do other things, and that was really the only easily identifiable hard savings. And we identified those as $2,400. Those soft benefits, as I said before, is very, very hard to measure. If we were to go out now and survey the students, I'm sure they'll say it's good, certainly much better than what it was, but we don't know for sure. It's a rare opportunity when you can spend the time on lean, get the people together, use it wisely. One thing we haven't done and we should have, embed the anti-racist, anti-discrimination methods. It's right there. Look at the process for that. Sustainability. Can this be made more green? How many of you know about red flag? Right? Recent regulations about schools having, because we extend credit typically to students, we have to follow certain rules and protect the data. Chances are your process involves student data. Well, protect it, embed red flag into that. There may be other initiatives particular to your campus. Maybe it's globalization. Maybe it's something else. Embed it. It's right there. It's helpful to consider the formally trained lean, at least to get you started. I would argue it's not a must. It can be pricey, but the key is pick the right people that know the process. I would suggest starting with a small process. You want to pick a friendly one, so you can kind of get your feet wet on that. But it's one that has to involve, I think, multiple departments. Within a department may be worth of a redesign, but it's probably not a full-blown lean then. So it should be one that involves multiple areas. You need willing users. Then the key is define your end goal. You can schedule 2 days if you can, and then map the current state and the desired state. Those are the two key activities. And then step away and research what the others are doing in the same process. Implement the changes and try to replicate the hopefully good results. So we think lean is worth it. I certainly hope it's something you can try at your institution. I think it's working well for us. It's keeping it going and being careful about measurement, I think, is what really will help. So this is my contact information, and I do use LinkedIn if you're using that. I'm very happy to add fellow professionals to that. I have my cards here, and if folks have questions, I'm happy to answer them. Yes? This particular parking process? You're right. I informally refer to it as lean light. I think we picked the wrong process for lean. This particular one is a minor redesign. It involved implementation of technology, but it didn't. I would argue it didn't include a ton of waste to begin with. But in the end, it was a better one, but maybe it doesn't quite rise to the level of full lean. That's true. Any other questions? Thank you all very much.